In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Dangerous Dave Feldman, lead singer and frontman for the New York City band Wildlife. Their new album, Sorted, is out on Wiggy Cool Records, and it boasts the recent coolest song in the world, Shotgun. We'll hear a bit of that now, followed by my chat with Dangerous Dave and your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. With you for your coolest conversations, and today get to catch up with Dangerous Dave Feldman, lead singer and frontman for New York City's Wildlife. The band's got a new album out now on Wiggy Cool Records. It's called Sorted, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, Shotgun. How are you, Dave?
I am well, Manfred. How are you, bud?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good and very happy that we get a chance to check in with each other and chat for a little bit. I think, I was looking back, it's like the first time you and I spoke was about 10 years ago. It was definitely, this is 2025, it was definitely 2015.
Wow.
Right? So, I remember, you guys you meeting Sam and Sam Allen, your guitar player in college. And kind of the band kind of starts up out of that. But can you remind us about your background? Like, where did you grow up, Dave?
Yeah, so I grew up in the suburbs of the city, about 45 minutes north in a town called Chappaqua. With Sam, we were in elementary school actually together. So we were playing together since it was about high school when we first started. Well, middle school we first started playing bands together. Nothing really serious, but then tail end of high school, we kind of started it was a major interest for us, and then I guess once we got out of high school, it was we kind of want to keep this going. So yeah, we did. And we both went to separate universities. Sam went to Purchase and I went to Baruch in the city. But you went to Purchase, and that's where we found Spencer and eventually Russ as well. So yeah, it's been a long, long time. And then
I don't know. It's crazy to think. People like to advance and make life progressions and stuff like that. I've been doing the exact same thing since I was 16 years old.
It's arrested development, just I've been skateboarding, I've been playing music with Sam. That's pretty much been my entire life. So.
Wow. Well, let me. I forgot that you guys go all the way back to like elementary school. So when you, so give me an idea. What grade is that? Do you recall even?
Yeah, I think so. Sam, he grew up. I think he was originally living on Staten Island, but he moved to Chappaqua when he was in, I think, second or third grade. And so
you guys are like eight. Third grade is like eight, I think.
Yeah, something like that, 8, 9. But like we weren't really like we, you know, when you're in elementary school, whatever.
You're hanging out on the monkey bars every now and again, but you know, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't until like middle school when like we first really started like, you know, getting into music and talking about music and stuff like that.
Let me ask you about this. What about your like the music in your household and stuff? Did your parents, you know, did they?
Oh yeah.
Did they play instruments, or was like your mom, you've always had the radio blasting, or maybe or.
Well, so like my dad was a big music head. He had like a little he had a band that it was like a basically, you know, like a mostly like covers of like you know, like Jay Giles Band and stuff like that. And it was a big Al Green fan. It's called the Cool Jerks, you know, just like a whatever, just, you know, something to do. But he was always playing records and playing music. My mom was always a really, really, really big music head, and my mom is pretty far out taste. She was listening to like everything low. She would listen to Pulp. She would listen to, you know, a lot of really good soundtracks. Portishead. She was all over the place. And my brother Kurt, huge music guy. Mike, my other brother, big music guys. But like, Kurt and Mike, my two older brothers, were the ones who were always playing it. My oldest brother Kurt is a drummer in a band called The Pains of Being Pure at Heart, who are now like doing stuff again. Funny enough, he just came back from Spain, and but like he's a drummer in that band, but he plays everything. He's like he's a genius as far as that stuff goes. But yeah, music was always around, and I was always listening to like buying CDs and stuff like that, and you know, watching a lot of skate videos, and music's such a huge part of that I was like constantly, you know, that was like my main source of finding out about music, because I wasn't listening to too much contemporary stuff.
Yeah.
Like top 40 stuff was especially, you know, irky then. but because of my brothers and because of like these videos that would come out, you know, I was always able to hear stuff that a lot of people wouldn't have such easy access to. Aside from like, you know, nowadays most people like, it's, I don't even think about it, but most people like they'll go see a movie and be like, oh, like that was such a great song. Like, what was that? And I was like, what, are you kidding me, dude? That's like the Velvet Underground. How do you not? You know what I mean? But like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I was lucky to have, you know, four older people in my immediate family to share this, plus like, you know, everything else around me. So
let me ask. So you were the baby.
Yeah, I'm the baby. Yeah,
you're the baby. Was there, and what's the spread between you and like Kurt? He's the oldest brother, the drummer.
Yeah, Kurt's the oldest brother. He was born in 84, and then my middle brother Mike was born at the very, very end of 86. So he's 2 years older than me in high school, and Kurt was three years older than Mike. So yeah.
So was there ever a thing where you guys considered playing together, like having like a brother band, or?
Yeah, I think my dad was always like, I think like watching like Hanson or something. He was like, you guys, I think you guys should do that. We're like, what, are you nuts? But like, we would like, we had a basement. Luckily, like, I'm very, very blessed for this one. But like, we had a basement with a drum kit and like amps and all that stuff. So like, we would jam, but it was like always kind of like a, it was like pretty much a joke. We called the the Three Brothers band called, it was called Louise Mania, which is named after a sign that's in the background of the movie Teen Witch. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with what I'm talking about, but it's a great movie anyway, better than the three piece band that we had. But yeah, it was nothing serious, but yeah.
Well, that's wow. What a great foundation though.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. So you guys, the last album before Sordid was Year of the Snake, and it came out just as the pandemic was getting underway.
Yep.
Which, you know, all that was really rough. Have you taken any precautions in case we have another major world catastrophe with Sordid coming out?
No, just, you know, keep a lot of money under my mattress. And that's pretty much it, honestly. Yeah, save your money, I guess.
Yeah, and it's easy sleeping on all them Andrew Jacksons.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so Sordid, the new album is Sordid, and like to me, the title means you got it together, getting it together. You're sorted, got a thing figured out, it's organized. What does it mean to you, Dave?
No, you nailed it. It was kind of like, I mean, it's got like a lot of meetings. Like, I, you know, you got it right on the nose with like, yeah, we got it together. And like, it's kind of like a joke because it's like, you know, it took 5 years to happen. You know, it's like, you know, like now, yeah, no problem, Sordid. Like, it only took half a decade. But you know, it's also like, it's kind of like, you got the, like, obviously it's like UK slang, which like this album, I think maybe more than others has like a bit of, a bit more, we've always had like a lot of like 90s UK influence in our records, but this one probably the most of any of them. And then there's also just like, it's such a, like, I'm not even saying this in a bad way. I think their record is like kind of like disjointed because of course it is. We wrote it in like piecemeal over the course of like starting from 2020 up until like 2000 and probably like maybe even early 2024, like we're writing and stuff. So, you know, it's like bound to be like kind of like this like separated like effort that I think kind of it's like paradoxically it comes together. So yeah, Sordid kind of refers to this like disjointed work that is now sorted into this bigger, I don't know, puzzle or whatever.
That sounds great. That sounds good to me. That sounds to me. That's the plan. The plan has come together. The pieces are in place.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a jigsaw. Actually, the other thing that I like is that when things are, I mean, I think maybe the term you use was piecemeal, but you know, like the songs written over a period of time, is that so often I've heard like groups where, you know, the new album comes out and there was like one good song idea or one worthy, or maybe two, one and a half, and then they just repeat the same song for like another 9 songs or 10 songs, you know? And it's,
yeah, like Sam and I, we like, that's one thing we always agree on when we talk about bands, and we talk about like contemporary bands a lot. And, you know, that's one of the biggest issues that we are is like, yeah, this band's sick, but like it's like all, it's a great like one song. There's got to be like, unless you're like AC/DC or the Ramones, like there's got to be some like melodic distinction. I mean, those are like obviously two of the greatest bands ever. But like, unless you're those dudes, like you got like, I think it's a good thing to like, you know, you can have a song that sounds like, you know, like a power pop song. You can have like a kind of like a harder edge, like, punk song or whatever, you know, and like still your sense of character and your individuality can, like, if you're good at it, shine through even on these like mix of different sounding songs versus just like, yeah, you got like, you're good at this like four on the floor, whatever.
Well, you know what? I just saw the Damned for the first time.
Same. I just saw them for the first time the other night.
And what did you think?
Ah, they were great.
Yeah, I agree.
They were great. And like, I was thinking, like, I was like, man, what a special like aisle crossing band the Damned is. But you know, I was like looking around, I was watching them, and I was, I mean, first of all, he sounds great. Especially for, you know, his age, but he sounded great. They all sounded great. They looked great. And I was like, what a special band. Like, punks really like this band. Like, goth dudes like this band. Women, like, older people, younger crowds still getting into the Damned. Like, people who vote blue, people who vote, like, red. Like, I was like, this is kind of like the Damned is pretty special. Like, it's wild.
Oh, I agree. And everything you're talking about that, you know, music-wise, you know, their songs are straight up kind of what you think of like a punk band from that era would be. And then they totally break it out into to other sounds and things.
Yeah.
And it all works together. Did they cover Alone Again or when you saw them?
They did.
Yeah. See, I mean, I like the original a whole lot, the Love version, of course.
Yeah,
The Damned version came out, I was like, really? What? They're covering that? And they do it killer, you know? It was, all right, let's get back. We got to get back. We got to sort some more stuff here.
Sure.
So, Jeff Sanoff, did he record this? He produced it with you guys?
He did, yeah, man. Jeff's the greatest, dude. He's so cool.
And this was at Renegade Studios there?
It was, yep.
All right. When did you guys when did you start recording? Was that disjointed as well?
I mean, I think it was probably 3 or possibly 4 sessions of tracking. Sam would know better than me on this one, because I kind of just clock in and turn my brain off. But it was at least 3 or 4 sessions of just tracking. But then there was like there were sessions of like, you know, guitar overdubs. And it was basically like, all right, we have these 3. I think it started off, we had 4 songs, Fast Dreams being one of them, you know, that's why that single came out like when it did. And we were like, all right, we're going to knock these 4 songs out first, plus a cover, I think it was. So maybe it was 5 tracks. And then it was like, all right, well, we got 4-5 tracks. One of them's a cover, so we need 6 more. So we just kind of started writing from there, and then would get when we had enough to warrant like a bulky session where we could do at least 3 tracks. We went back and then we did it again, and you know, like this, it just takes a while, but I think it ended up being cool, so I'm hyped.
Well, so our coolest song in the world this week, Shotgun. You and Sam wrote it. Give me an idea again of how. I mean, I'm assuming you come up with the lyrics, he's coming up with the music.
It's cool that we're like talking about that song, because funny enough, I think that was the first song after Year of the Snake came out that we actually started writing. And I remember it was like a sweltering hot day in the summer, 2020. And I was like, dude, I feel like I should be writing something. So I was just like, it was hot. And I was just like, all right, the heat off the windowsill. That was what started that. And, you know, just started just jotting stuff down. And then I, you know, eventually I put it together. I sang it to Sam. I think I might have been over a voice memo. I sent it to him, or we might have met up in like the fall of 2020, something like that, and just kind of put together this like real loose acoustic version. That was it. It was cool. It's kind of this meta song, because it was like that song is about, you know, me and Sam basically, and like what, you know, we've been doing our whole lives. So, yeah.
I love the idea too. You know, when you see the title, you know, you're thinking of of guns, right? I mean, and you know, the Junior Walker song too.
But yeah,
that still is, you know, with the still conjures up the idea of a shotgun, the blast, whatever. And just like the idea of you know, it's in that, you know, sharing the ride, you know, by your side kind of thing is.
We have a mutual friend whose name I'm not going to say, but he was asking like, oh, which song should I play on my radio show? Cause this guy also runs a radio show. I think you maybe you know who I'm talking about. And then I was like,
oh, I do, but you can say his name. You can say
Todaphonic Todd.
Yeah. Todaphonic Todd at FMU.
He's like, well, I'm not going to play a song called Shotgun. And I was like, well, see, you're jumping to conclusions, man. And now you're not even, you know, now I got to tell you what it's about and it's going to ruin the whole appeal. You're going to ruin that magic moment where had you just thrown on the damn record and heard the song. We got to laugh at that. But
yeah, we get next time you speak to Todd, tell him I said, hey,
I'm going to see him tomorrow.
Well, please tell him I said hello.
I will.
I mean, he does some great stuff at WFMU, their Todaphonic Todd.
He's a legend.
He is a legend, and more than just his own mind.
That's right.
Yeah,
especially another, his own mind, but also in real life, and that's good.
Yes. Well, so another tune I really dig on the album goes without saying, and I like the just arrangement wise going from what I would describe as kind of this single notes of arpeggio on guitar. It's just and then it goes into full on rocking chords and back and forth from that several times. Also, it's got, there's some backing vocals on there. Who's singing backing vocals on Goes Without Saying?
I think I'm doing the overdub. Russ might be in some parts, but I think it's mostly me on that one. Russ is definitely the best singer in the band. But I think that was me over me, which is cool.
And when you say Russ, you're talking about your drummer.
The drummer. Russ.
And now how long has Russ been with you? Because I know in the past that's kind of the different guys doing the drums.
Right. Russ was the OG drummer on the first two records. And then he bounced to do his own thing. And, you know, he got married and whatever. And so, you know, we had Stevie drumming on the third and fourth record. And then, you know, Stevie didn't really want to do it anymore. And actually, we were all, me, Sam, Spencer, and Russ were gathered at a buddy's memorial service, crazy enough. It was the first time we had been in a room together in like almost like probably close to 10 years. And he was just like, you know, I think I want to like do the band thing again. And we were like, all right, buddy, careful what you wish for. So he's been in it now. And like, you know, it's wild. I mean, he's kind of like seemingly more into it now than ever, which is crazy because he's got, you know, he's married and has a kid. Maybe that's why he's into it more, because he's married and has a kid. He lives up in Maine, but he's like, dude, he's so down to like keep this whole thing going. And yeah, I love Russ, man. I'm so happy he's back.
He understands that now he's a lifer.
Yeah. I think he always was. Yeah. And now he's like, ah, oh, damn, I can't really leave. So, yeah.
So, yeah, you do unshackle him, let him go back to Maine. And then when you get a hold of him, right. Hey, I want you to tell us about this, if you can, this tune, Terminal Blue.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a fun one.
Well, one thing I do love, I'll say, is about somewhere in the verse, you get this cool sort of Ray Davies kind of cadence to your singing. I think that's great. So tell me about Terminal Blue.
So that one, kind of just like, at one point it was during pandemic, actually, I picked up a job at a spot, like a high end Detroit style pizza bar/cocktail lounge, low fidelity, shout out to those guys. They're awesome. Kent and Jesse. During my brief tenure there, you know, I was serving and I was just like, man, serving sucks, man. What a horrible, horrible job. Like, I feel like I'm still the service industry for life. I'm still bartend, but God bless. Dude, I cannot wait tables ever again. So you will witness and be exposed to some of like the just worst behavior. So that was kind of like, it's the song kind of starts off as like an amalgamation of like all this terrible behavior that I had seen in bars and stuff like that. And I kind of just turn it into one person specifically in the song, like doesn't really exist. And then the song's basically, about how like you just got to keep in your mind that like, you know what, that person's gonna drop dead someday, and you might and you will too. But at least you can leave something like good behind and like some sort of small scale legacy other than just being a prick. So.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago, you had your tune Bystander, which is the opening song on Sorted. That was our coolest song of the world. Let me ask you about that. When did this one, is that around, was that a pandemic song or did it come later?
When did we put Bystander together, man? That's a good question. It probably came out of the, it's probably around 2022 or so. So like 2023 when we started putting that one together. But we were, yeah, we liked that one. That was like, Wildlife's got a few of those tunes in our repertoire of like these just like straight up, like kind of mean,
yeah,
mean punk songs.
Yeah.
Like definitely super Hives influence, but like just like trying to be like, I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of funny to like write a song from like the point of view of like a big boot about to squish a fly or something like that. I wish that makes sense.
Well, yeah. So the Bystander, is that the one doing this kind of manipulation?
Yeah, no, I'm like, it's basically like the speaker, the point of view of the guy speaking is basically like, it's like, I'm just here, like, I'm here to do what I want, and you're just a bystander in my, like, plan of action. So I'm gonna do whatever I can, and if that involves like destroying your life, then so be it.
So the one doing the singing is the one with the boot is coming right. Down.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, it's cool. It's a cool tune.
Thanks.
You know, so I know you got a couple of, I was trying to check out what you guys had coming up live, and I saw that early June you're playing like Milwaukee and Chicago.
Yeah.
Where do you have in front of you where that's going to be at?
Liars Club is the Chicago show. That's where we always play. And the Milwaukee one is going to be Club Garibaldi.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mobster's like basement, but, yeah. Club Garibaldi on June 6th and then Liars Club June 7th.
Cool. And do you have any other shows lined up?
Right now that's kind of it. We kind of like, well, we're going to sort some stuff out definitely for like mid late summer. I got like a busy July. Like personally, I'm going out to the UK and, I think we're just going to probably like take a little private victory lap, and then come back in the fall and just start doing some shows again. I would really like, we got some stuff that we need to go back over the Rust Belt, but I kind of would love to get back into like playing colleges again. So if there's anybody out there listening from college rec, whatever, get at us, because we'll play your school. Those are fun.
Did you hear about the Underground Garage cruise?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're doing that too.
You ready to set sail?
I wouldn't use ready, but I'm going on it.
have you ever been on a cruise?
Between you, me, and everybody out there listening, I told myself like long time ago that I will never go on a cruise. And here I am. We're going on it. I did one show on a boat once. We were opening for the Electric Six. This must have been 6 years ago at least. And yeah. I'm not usually like, I have a pretty strong like constitution. I got on that boat and I was so nauseous. I was like, dude, this sucks. I had to like, we hadn't got like left yet. I had to like run to a drugstore, get like Dramamine and all that stuff. I was dying. But you know what? That I've seen the lineup every year on that cruise, and I was like, dude, I actually would play this. Like it, every year, it's like a really good lineup. Like Rocket from the Crypt was on it this year.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this was actually the first year. So before it was like,
what was the one before?
The ones before was Outlaw Country, right? That's so that's Steven Van Zandt's other SiriusXM channel. But it would be mostly country things. But they did have things before like Social Distortion, X, and Lost Straitjackets. Some of those bands did have played that. But this, and they were on this first Underground Garage cruise, but then there was also, as you said, Rocket from the Crypt,
mm-hmm.
and a whole bunch of other folks, you know, that were not part of the Outlaw Country cruises.
Right.
So yeah, the best line for me the whole time came from, and this is referencing back, you know, you said you got the Dramamine was Palmyra Del Ran said, you know, how's everybody doing, you know. Yeah, how about the anybody feeling, you know, queasy or anything? Yeah, what about Dramamine, huh? Taking Dramamine? And then she said, taking Dramamine? Yeah, I'm not, because I have enough drama in my life as it is. that was my favorite line.
Yeah, that's good.
The other tune I want us to take a listen to off the album right now is Mia, M-I-A. And so the saying is, all is fair in love and war. Now, does that apply to Mia?
Yeah, I guess it does. That was this was like a kind of a funny one. And I'm like, you know, this is whatever. I'll tell the radio listeners. This was like, so basically this one, when we were writing and needed songs, whatever, I had told Sam, I was like, man, I want to do this song. And he's like, we had written this song back in high school.
Uh-huh.
Like basically, like, but totally different. Like the only, the similarity is the first two lines of the first one line of the chorus, the Mia, you're missing in action. That is the only part of the song that was, you know, lifted from high school. And then we basically just rewrote the thing. I was just like, man, I want a song that like sounds like, you know, like the records or something like that. Just like a real like pop jam song. And it was, yeah, you know, it was fun to like mix your metaphors with like, you know, between like a woman and like basically war. And like,
war, right. Yeah.
You know, so it was cool. It's got like a Star Jets vibe. Star Jets definitely messed around with that concept as well. And
I love too that you, you dip back in and tap into that, teenage angst from mm-hmm. long ago, but you know, rework it into a contemporary thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Man, Dave, well, thanks again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, my God. What a pleasure it's been, dude.
Going to take a listen now to Mia, M-I-A. It's Wildlife off the new album Sorted in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I can't seem to get my message across. Is there hope now?
MIA. That's Wildlife in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead singer, Dangerous Dave Feldman, for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Legendary blues musician Taj Mahal. He had a Grammy-winning collaboration with Kev Moe back in 2017, and the two have just released its follow-up, Room on the Porch. We'll find out all about it when Taj joins me next time around for your Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.